everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Happy March. It's March 1st, 2013. And, oh, tomorrow we leave for the Holy Land. Excited about that. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support. We're going to be taking over hundreds of teddy bears and beanie babies, lots of school supplies and art supplies. We've collected a bunch of stuff. And we're going to be taking it over to the children in and around Nazareth to a Bible club there. We're going to help some children in and around Tiberias, in and around Jerusalem, Safed, some other areas where we're going to extend love and care and compassion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have great little flyers that we had posted at our website that we're going to be handing out. I think I have 1,000 of these printed up, so all the delegates will be able to share these on our flights, in the restaurants, wherever we go, to kind of tell people why we're here, what we're trying to achieve and do, and spread God's love and lots going on. And, you know, Wednesday we got on a roll, and I never got to do the big plug that I wanted to do from the onset of the program because we started talking about God's Word.
The Bible got in the way again.
Yeah. The Merge Gospel Series, it's about a month and a half away. And obviously, when we get back from Israel in a couple weeks, we'll be saying a lot more about it. But put down on your calendar April 11th. It's a Thursday night. We'll be meeting at Judah Christian School in Champaign, and it'll be a 12-week series through the Merged Gospels. It's a book that's been penned and put together by Gary Crossland. I think he took about like 7 years to compile, kind of walking where Jesus walked, a time frame of how all these biblical events took place. And then he merged the four different accounts of Jesus' life here on earth, accounts from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, put it all together, and it's just a fascinating way to go through the Bible. I've been doing this since the beginning of the year, and Jason has agreed because he's done this a number of times. He loves teaching and preaching and sharing. And so on Thursday nights, beginning in April, we're going to have a community-wide Bible study where we'll meet the second and fourth Thursdays of every month beginning in April, and we'll go through this together. So there'll be some conversation, some teaching, some sharing. And it'll be a great time to gather together. And I want to again thank publicly Thrivent Financial. They're helping underwrite some of the costs so that basically this $35 book, it's kind of like a workbook. It's, I don't know what you would call it. It's a resource. It's
huge.
It's huge. It's a great resource. But because of Thrivent Financial, we can bring the cost down to $20 for those of you that want to purchase a copy through us and then join us on those 12 weeks. So if you need to find out more, I know I don't have the link all set up, but you can find out more at a website. You can always call in and use your Visa or send in a check and say, sign me up. It's $20, and that covers the cost of the book, some of the handouts that will be given, and some of the other things. But again, thank you, Thrivent Financial, for helping us underwrite some of the costs of this series. And we're very excited to get a bunch of you to come out together and study God's Word and get into the Scriptures with us. So that'll begin April 11th. So put that on your calendar. And get registered. You can call the station at 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. It's the Merge Gospel, and you can find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org. But on Wednesday, I wanted to talk about that, and we got into just an account that's in the Merge Gospel where he took the Matthew and Mark account, merged them kind of together, and it was the story of blind Bartimaeus and how Jesus stopped along the road, you know, going from maybe Jericho toward Jerusalem, and that he showed compassion and brought about healing, not just physical healing of sight, and we started talking about that, but the true and greatest healing, healing of the heart, healing to open our eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, who God is, and how we can have a relationship with him. So, oh, it was a good, if you missed Wednesday's broadcast, you might get a kick out of it, but we just kind of winged it. I won't say winged it. We always pray up our programs, but we ask God to kind of guide us, and then we just got on a roll, and next thing, our 23 minutes were up, and SRN News wouldn't wait. So the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends is archived at greatnewsradio.org. And one last mention before we jump into the Book of Ruth. I have this posted, but you're going to see 17 of the 21 members that are going to Israel tomorrow posted at greatnewsradio.org. I also did a Facebook posting, but you'll see their photographs. This is at the Community Evangelical Free Church, and you'll see the hundreds of teddy bears in the background. And Bev Lane, who donated over 205 hand-stitched, hand-sewn items that were taken, everything from little carry bags to little pillows and blankets and things for the children. But you'll see this glorious group of saints that God has put together to serve and extend his love in the Holy Land. So again, thank you for your prayers, your financial gifts. Many of you sent in donations that we'll take over with us to Israel. And there's still time because basically, though we're leaving tomorrow, if checks come in and it says Israel supplies, I'll be taking over some additional cash. And so nothing will get wasted, and we'll put it to good use. And if you do still send in a check even today and it arrives, I'll be aware of it when I'm over in Israel. I'll be calling in and checking in with Karen. And she said, hey, Mark, $300 more came in, so you can buy additional supplies or crayons or markers or whatever. We'll have that privilege. So we will put your money to good use, serving in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we would appreciate your prayers. We'll be gone the 2nd through the 13th, arriving home very late on the evening of the 13th. Basically, it'll become the 14th because we'll be home at about 1 a.m., but we'd appreciate your prayers on behalf of the group. And while we're gone, you have worked diligently behind the scenes studying and preparing a series, and basically it'll cover 8 different programs beginning on Monday called the Rabbi Jesus series. And so what do you hope gets accomplished as you teach about Jesus?
Well, I mean, we met as a great group of Great News Radio listeners. I think it was like 80-plus people met every other Thursday from November through February just to walk through Jesus's cultural, social, Jesus's connections to the Old Testament. I mean, often we'll read the New Testament accounts and we'll divide ourselves from the Old Testament, or we'll divide ourselves from the cultural nature of what's happening. So it really just is a chance for us to read the Bible, really looking at the Old Testament allusions. I mean, even on Wednesday, I alluded to the fact that in that section of scripture we talked about blind Bartimaeus, that really in Psalm 15 we get a picture of what it means to be a Christian, that we walk blameless and we live in righteousness, that we speak truth from our heart, that we don't slander with our tongue, that we help our brother, that we love our brother more than we love our money, and that we don't take a bribe against the innocent. And it says at the end of this, which I really love, is he who does these things will never be shaken. And this is the same scripture that Jesus would have learned as he went to, you know, Bet Sefer and Bet Talmud and Bet Talmudin, that as he attended in his very human body these different Jewish schoolings. And he would have learned the scripture and memorized the scripture. And then Jesus spoke in such a way that he was calling people forth not just to remember, but to step back into the inheritance that they have been called to. So the first class gives you a real, first set of teachings give you a real overview on what that is. And then I think we walk through the Beatitudes. So the 8 or 9 verses in the Beatitudes, we'll walk through that, the last bunch of teachings, which we really see how the Beatitudes, the way Jesus opens up his this foundational teaching called the Sermon on the Mount, how he really speaks back into the Old Testament a lot. He's calling the people forward to step back into the inheritance of God. And what's fascinating is
forward to step back. It sounds like Back to the Future.
Well, it's fascinating because in the Sermon on the Mount, especially the Beatitudes, but then in the greater Gospels, there's consistently this talk of inheritance. I mean, when we think about the lawyer, the expert in the law who stands up in the Good Samaritan, and it says, he asked Jesus, how will I inherit eternal life? The rich young ruler and rich young man comes to Jesus and says, good teacher, how do I inherit these things? And Jesus is speaking to him in the beginning in the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes, saying, you already have this inheritance, but you think you have to do something. And so as we'll walk through that and look at the Old Testament scriptures, we'll find that the Jewish people already had the pathway to take. They were already given the pathway to God. And then God had to give us, you know, 1,000 more pages to help us to see and remember that. I mean, the story of the Bible is consistently God trying to get us back on track as we've lost our way because we've forgotten that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we have a grand inheritance in God. And I want to, you know, we said we were going to talk about Ruth, but I don't think we will today, maybe. But I wanted to discuss this little flyer that we're going to hand out in Israel because it talks about what we're talking about. You know, and this flyer on the front says, has some a gentleman holding up the Torah. If you go to the website, you can see this. He's holding up the scrolls of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and in the middle is Hebrew writing. And that Hebrew writing is the word Ahava. And the word Ahava means love. It's the same as that Greek word that most of you guys know that's agape, the love of God. We have this idea about what love is. I mean, I think those of us, we read Corinthians 13:13, and we say faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. You know, we read Peter where it says love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sin. I mean, we can quote the love verses, and there's a big, huge evangelical movement right now to talk about the love of God, almost to the point where we worship the love of God even more than we worship the totality of who God is. And I think we have to reclaim. That's why when I was putting this together and I was just praying about this, that love needed to be the guiding force, because love is the thing that I think that the enemy's getting us off track on. And if we use what's called the law of first mention, the law of first mention is where was something mentioned first in the Bible? We need to go there because it usually gives us clarity and it gives us an idea of what God was saying when he spoke this. And it says in Genesis chapter 22, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. So the only time that God and Abraham really talk, and Abraham talks back to God, is right here, where he says, Abraham, and Abraham says, I'm right here. Which is really, the scholars, especially the Jewish scholars, say this is a moment where God is calling yet again to Abraham, and Abraham is saying, I have not left my faith in you. I have not moved. My righteousness is still to be counted for me. I'm right here. And he says, then God said, take your son, your only son. Notice that God doesn't just say your son, but your only son, which is a fascinating thing to say because Abraham had more than one son, didn't he? So when we listen to this, we can hear the Christological references being made. This is not just a picture of Abraham and Isaac. This is a picture of God the Father and God the Son. But it says here, then God said, take your son. And then he really hammers it down, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. And go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. This is the first mention of the word love in the Bible. And this love here is Ahava. Now, there's three kinds of love that's talked about in the Bible. There's, and I'm going to give you the Greek words to help you out, because most of us know the Greek words. There's Eros, which means lover. We find Eros a lot in like the Song of Solomon. It's an intimate lover. Then there is phileo, which is a companion, a brotherly love, somebody we wrap our arm around and we go on a journey with. Many of those people that we're following God with are phileo. We've got our arms wrapped around them and we're loving them and following God with them.
And people know that word because of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love.
City of brotherly love, which is fascinating because if you do some history in Philadelphia, it's not known in what they do as the city of brotherly love. And then we have agape, which is this love of God, this bedrock commitment to God, this person who you've orientated your life towards and you're committed to. So when God comes here, he doesn't say, take your son, whom your only son, Isaac, whom you phileo, or whom you eros, but whom you agape, whom you ahava, whom you love. You have an undying commitment to. You are in union and communion and relationship with this. Listen to this too. Fascinating. When God gives the first mention of love, he doesn't do it pertaining to him and us. He does it pertaining to us and us. Us and us. That's a fascinating thing to think of, isn't it?
Us and others.
Right. Us and others. God's first call of agape, this committed love, is us and the people around us. Now, we do have to understand that the layer over Genesis 22 is Christological. It's about Jesus. It's about God the Father and God the Son, that God the Father will take his one and only Son, and he will, in love, ahava for the world, for God so loved the world, that he will sacrifice his Son. So this passage, at its very core, is about love and about sacrifice that comes through love. Because later on in the story, Abraham, being obedient, lays his son to be sacrificed, and an angel comes as Abraham's about to do the deed and says, no, stop. Now, what's fascinating is that at this time, having to be asked to sacrifice your firstborn son was not out of the realm of possibility. In fact, that happened with the pagan gods all the time. That happened in Ruth's culture, the Canaanite culture, with the detestable god Chemosh. You would sacrifice your sons and daughters to him. That happened in the Valley of Gehenna, where they would throw their sons into the fire to worship the detestable god Molech. There's a long history of sacrificing sons and daughters to these pagan gods. So, in the human level here, Abraham is doing something that he sees happening culturally around him and is being obedient to doing that, and then is saved by God. So there's one layer of people, pagan people, who might hear this story and go, wait a second, that sounds just like our culture, but God took him out of that. God operated totally counter to the culture. Then there's another layer of that where Abraham is like God, sending his only begotten son because he loves the world, so willing to sacrifice for the world.
Now, and then us looking back at it and seeing how perfectly it models what God did through Jesus.
Exactly. And then we go forward to, okay, so why do we even talk about this? Because we have to answer the question, what is love? You know, people tell me all the time, they say, well, we got to do everything in love. And I said, okay, well, I don't want to sound like a jerk, but what is love? Because you know what? There's three kinds of love, and I don't know that you're talking about the love you think you're talking about. I don't know that you're talking about the level of sacrifice that really comes from following Jesus. I think that we all love phileo, and we're scared to death of agape. We're scared to death of ahava, because that means that we have to sacrifice everything. You know, in Jesus, in John chapter 21, first of all, there's a miraculous catch of fish. So Jesus does the unimaginable, 153 fish.
Big fish.
Big fish, too. I mean, it's a stellar catch. I watch those shows sometimes on the History Channel, like Big Shrimpin' and all those. And when they pull in a big, huge net of fish, all the guys on the deck are like, look at this, buddy. Look at what we got. A lot of fish, you know. And I think that when I saw that the other day on that shrimp show, I thought, man, I wonder if that's how the disciples were. Like, oh, my gosh, yeah, buddy. Look at all these fish. And they shouldn't have been surprised, because Jesus earlier on had already multiplied fishes and loaves. So we know Jesus can multiply the fish. And so Jesus does something entirely miraculous to show his providential power, to show who he is. And it says when they finished eating, because Jesus always takes a meal with his disciples, because something holy happens around the table. And he says when he finished eating, he said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly agape me more than these? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. You know that you're my brother. And Jesus says, no, wait a second. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he goes, you're my brother, Jesus. And Jesus has to ask him again, because Jesus keeps saying, do you have an undying commitment to me? Will you sacrifice everything for me? And Peter keeps saying, yeah, I'll put my arm around you. I'll put my arm around you.
Yeah, they're using two different versions of
two different versions.
Love.
Jesus keeps using agape, and Peter keeps coming back with phileo. Peter keeps coming back going, yeah, I'll wrap my arm around you. And Jesus is going, I need you to do more than wrap your arm around me, because when you wrap your arm around me, the only person who feels good is you. Because you think, wow, I got my arm around him, I must love him. And you like it because it looks like to everyone else around, because you got your arm around me, that you love me too. But you haven't sacrificed anything. And Jesus continually in the gospel says, what are you sacrificing? What are you sacrificing? And, you know, this Israel trip is unlike most of the other Israel trips that you've gone on. You've done a few of these, but unlike most of them, where touring is not the main thing. The main thing is not going to see where Jesus walked or where Jesus taught or any of those things. The main thing is to serve, to really sacrifice, because people going on this trip are sacrificing financially, and they've called on brothers and sisters to help fund them to be able to sacrifice financially. We're going and we're sacrificing the most precious thing we have, which is our time, parts of the whole of our day, to serve people, to serve in the Ethiopian Absorption Center, traumatized children at the psychiatric hospital in Safed, to encourage children who have been traumatized by landmines and by these missiles that have fallen, to serve toddlers and children in Jerusalem, Tiberias, Safed, and Nazareth, to bring them teddy bears and prizes and gifts, to let them know that they matter not just to us, but they matter to God. And how crazy, because it must be God that we flew across the ocean to deliver you a teddy bear. I mean, just think about that. Just think about, you get in your car today and you drive all the way across the country because you feel like God has called you to bring a teddy bear to somebody in California. I mean, that's the equivalent. I don't say that so we can pat ourselves on the back. I say that because, yay, God, and because we want to come in love, a love that makes us have to sacrifice something. Because when Jesus says, "Do you love me?" I don't want to just wrap my arm around him. Mm-hmm. I want to sacrifice something for him. And so, as Mark had already said, and I would just make this plea, that if you feel like God tugging on your heart, you know, part with something. Send something in. Or at the very least, covet to pray for us every single day, that the enemy would not stand against us, that we would be able to make bridges with our brothers and sisters, that we would be able to love on these kids, that we would be able to donate blood and plant trees and pick up trash, that we would be able to be the hands and feet of Christ there, modeling ahava, a sacrifice of ourselves, not phileo, just simply wrapping our arms around it because it looks like a good picture. I told my wife the other day, I said, I don't want to come back from Israel with a bunch of good pictures. I want to come back from Israel having to have given something of myself up and maybe come back a little lighter for it.
Mm. And you know, Jason, I'm thinking we can only love because he first loved us.
Exactly.
Because of Almighty God has a plan and purpose for you. He designed you. He created you. He loves you. He's extended all kinds of love toward you, even this very day, but the simple act of sending his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, to die for us, to suffer for us. It's an extravagant love that we can never measure or quite understand, but it's the truest measure of love given his very own. He loves you, friend. He desires to love on you throughout all eternity, and you get to know that love as you accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. Make that decision today to follow Jesus. And if you're a senior saint that has walked closely along the Lord Jesus Christ all day long, most of your life, walk more passionately in his love today and extend that to others.
Yeah.
Let me also mention right now, there may be some of you where your heartstrings are being tugged because maybe you've never heard that God loves you, that God cares for you, that there is this sovereign one that has designed you and has a plan for your life, plans to prosper you and not harm you. If this is maybe a new concept to you or a concept that you've ran away from but would like to talk to somebody, there are trained counselors that are very caring and can walk you through how to have a relationship with Almighty God. Dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. And starting Monday, and it'll basically be Monday, March 4th through the 8th, and then the following week, March 11th through the 13th, you're going to hear a special series entitled Rabbi Jesus by Pastor Jason Schiffo. So we invite you to tune in all next week and be praying us up, everyone. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.